Just as a reminder of our announcements this morning, and as you probably saw coming in, we have our stewardship fair going on today. So I highly encourage you to stop in to see all our ministries throughout the parish, especially if you're new or are looking for something new to do in the parish. This is a good time to figure out what each of our ministries are and to get a little bit of information and maybe join one of those. Today, the gospel reading is very important to us Catholics. This is where we see the beginning of the papacy, starting with Simon Peter, the rock on which Christ builds his church. Christ gives him authority in a huge way and makes Peter head of the apostles. This unfolds in the gospel in a way that shows us how important this conversation is for Jesus and for his disciples. First, Jesus leads them into Caesarea Philippi. This would have been a 20-mile journey to a place that was completely pagan, where all kinds of sacrifices were being made to the pagan gods. This place became known to the Jews literally as the gates of hell, the gates of the netherworld. Yet Christ brings them there. And after this long journey, he asks his disciples, in a very general way, who do people say that the Son of Man is? This is a title that Jesus often uses in the Gospel of Matthew, referring to himself. And the disciples exemplify the confusion that the people have regarding who Jesus is. They know that he is a holy man, a prophet for sure, but none of these answers are adequate. None of them gets to the true identity of who Jesus is. So Jesus asks again in a more specific way, a very specific way. But who do you say that I am? After all that the disciples have been through with Jesus, this question feels very vulnerable. I can imagine the pregnant silence that would have come if you were to ask this question to someone who you've spent meaningful time with, someone you love. You wouldn't want just a flippant or quick answer. This is a test of how well do you know me? How does this person that I love deeply know me? I imagine there were a few moments of silence when Jesus asks this tender question, much like in a classroom when a teacher ask that question, which the whole class should know after a semester of study. Then, out of all the disciples, Simon, the one who is known for speaking too soon, the one who has put his foot in his mouth many times in haste answering our Lord, it is Simon who answers, "You are the Christ, Son of the living God." Jesus responds to this with a blessing, pointing out that this was not simply an answer that Simon came up with on his own, but after all this time he had spent with Jesus in his presence with the Son of God, Simon, in that moment, was informed with the Spirit and answered correctly. Because of this great grace-filled response, Jesus gives Simon a new name and places him at the head of all the disciples and the apostles. Because Peter listened to the stirring of the Spirit, he is given a great responsibility to be that foundation of the church, which the gates of hell cannot prevail against. He is given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, this ability to bind and to loose. This great authority is given context in our first reading this morning, where Eliakim is given the keys of the house of David. This task of gatekeeper is more than simply holding the keys, but to be a judge of who is welcomed in the house and who Eliakim judges unworthy to enter or who might be a threat. This responsibility must be given to a wise man, someone who has the capacity to judge well. Peter is given this responsibility not based on his own wisdom. One, the knowledge of the flesh and blood, but on his ability to hear the wisdom of the Heavenly Father and to speak accordingly. And so what does this mean for us? First, that we trust in the Holy Spirit, who is alive in our church today. We pray and we trust in the Pope, that he continues to listen to that Spirit's prompting and leads Christ's church in the wisdom of God the Father, who rely on the and not rely on the knowledge that is of flesh and blood. And for ourselves, to constantly conform ourselves to listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit in great and small matters, relying on the Spirit that we were all given at baptism and in a fuller measure at confirmation. Trusting in the Spirit over our own knowledge, forming our earthly knowledge to conform with the will of God. Because, as we know, grace builds on nature. The things we have, the earthly knowledge we have, must be allowed to grow in the wisdom of God, with the grace of God. Secondly, we must be able to answer this question for ourselves. Who do we say that Jesus is? In our spiritual life, we strive to grow in unity with God. We are confronted with these questions many times along the journey. Christ himself will ask us this very personable and this very vulnerable question. Perhaps each time we can respond like Simon does. We know that Jesus is the Son of the living God. But this response, as we grow in our spiritual life, takes on a new meaning, a deeper meaning. How deep we allow our relationship with him to go. The only way we come to this deeper understanding of who Jesus is by spending time with him, just as Simon spent time with him on this road, this journey, and before then. We come to know Jesus in going to adore him in the Blessed Sacrament, by trusting that his way is better and discovering this truth in our own lives, loving God and neighbor, receiving the sacraments, and striving to live free from sin. Only then can we know the goodness of Christ. Only then can we truly say with Peter, "You are the Christ, you are my Savior, Son of the living God."